Oh, hi, everybody. My name is Matt Storrs, and welcome to Mattsplaining. On today's episode, I have an expert on who's going to talk about something that I feel very passionate about. Expert, please introduce yourself and tell us what you're an expert in.
Hello, Matt. My name is Dante Powell. I am an expert in CDL training.
Fantastic. I feel like I know quite a bit about CDL training in that over the last decade or so, I think that there's been a really big uptick in the number of people that have been really trying to participate in CDL. And I think one of the most important things that a lot of people don't think about when they are trying to get into training for CDL is the hand-eye coordination that goes into it. It is a big undertaking and a big task that you're trying to go for. Having that really good hand-eye coordination, some of those like quick reaction skills. And not only do you need to anticipate, but you need to set up success for the people that are working with you, the people that are counting on you. There's a lot of long hours, a lot of energy drinks, a lot of planning and scheduling that goes into this sort of thing. And also communication, super important, like learning the lingo. It's very important. The communication is the fundamental building block of success in CDL. And your team will eventually bring in sponsors based on how effective your communication is, because that's how you're going to build your brand. And that's how people are going to find you, especially on Twitch and with the league as it goes on and as it builds out. You need to have, because when you're playing Call of Duty League, you need to be able to get people connected to you as much as possible and really kind of empathize with your play style and your skill set. And that's how you, once you've established that, that's how you can get sponsors and sponsorships. With that comes a lot of figuring out what your setup is going to be, what is going to be in front of you, where your screens and your monitors are. So you can anticipate actions and reactions, being able to have a good headset and communicate over your radio, or I guess it would be more of like a microphone setup and everything like that. And then a lot of people don't think about it, but if people are watching you on the stream, you want to have that background image, that background lighting to be really, really nice. Like a lot of people think of it like if you were in, you want to think about your streaming capability as like being in a car or like a large vehicle of some sort. And if you were in that kind of like cab, so to speak, what would you want people to recognize in there that denotes who you are and gives some good backlighting and makes people feel comfortable watching? So I think that that's something that people initially don't think about when they're going into this sort of training. And then ultimately, with any sort of training, have to put in the hours. So you can't just, obviously, when you're younger, you're going to be much better at learning and picking up these games and being able to attack and figure out troop movements and other players' actions. But as time goes on, your reaction times might need to slow, but you're going to have that learned experience of years and years of playing these games. And I think that that's what really wins the championships in the leagues based on the point differentials currently in the leagues as we're recording this. It does seem like some of the teams with some of the older players are tending to get more points during the competition matches. And so I think that there's a pretty strong argument for that. But yeah, ultimately, it's just logging those hours, being willing to put in the training, being willing to take feedback, and being able to really
10,000 hours.
Yeah, at least 10,000 hours. Even that's base one level expertise. You want to get well beyond that to be, you know, somebody seeks out for the new generation of training. There's going to be a plethora, presumably, of these Call of Duties, but based on what you've heard so far, about how much of that would you say was accurate?
Well, Matt, I don't know if this has ever happened in the history of this podcast before, but it sounds like about 100% of what you said was accurate. Wow. There seems to be a bit of a mistake here in terms of my letting what I am an expert in, though, however. So the Call of Duty League, the CDL that you explained, is not the CDL that I mentioned or that I was referencing when I mentioned CDL.
I
I
see.
was speaking on commercial driver's licenses, which is something that, again, you spoke so eloquently and so you had like such an informed take on things that were happening with it. And it like the similarities were just glaring. I kid you not. Like there's so much that you mentioned in the realm of Call of Duty leagues that also pertain to commercial driver's license training and just educating me on and training to get a commercial driver's license. You mentioned energy drinks. When you're trying to get a commercial driver's license, it's joked about that a lot of guys who are commercial truck drivers do speed. That used to be a
Okay.
big thing that like drivers would just do drugs openly. Like it just was part of the practice of doing it. Not so much anymore. It's become a little more regulated and we don't want people to do that. But energy drinks have taken over as the new sort of drug of choice to help keep guys awake while they drive. You don't have sponsors, but you do have companies that take you on as a driver. You drive for them, they pay you. So that is similar. And then CDL drivers, if you ever drive on the highway and you're looking at semi drivers, a lot of times you see them wearing a headset that looks similar to the headsets that a lot of gamers wear when they stream. So there are the similarities there. But what I think a lot of people don't know is that it is, despite many of the CDL drivers you may know who don't come across as such, it's quite a labor-intensive undertaking. So when you start, it's not just about the driving. You have to learn quite a bit in terms of like the laws of driving. You have to learn how to do a log book and make sure that you are legal when you drive. And so for a lot of people, that is the toughest part because you only have a set amount of time during each day that you can actually drive, and you have to be able to complete your work within that amount of time. And then that also is included within a larger portion of time within the week, where in a 7 day period, you have 70 hours that you have to complete whatever work you have to do for that weekend. And it's broken up into hour periods each day, and then 11 hours of driving each day or 10 hours of driving each day. And so we have to teach these guys how to properly log that information so that they can accurately keep up with that time and be safe on the road, because not only do you have to worry about the hazards of driving, the numerous things that come with that, but you also have to worry about making sure you're legal. And so if you randomly get pulled over for, say, I don't know, like having a tail light out, the officer is going to want to look at your log book. And if that's not correct, you could face some really serious, like thousands of dollars in fines. And so that's just the start. So that's before you ever go out and see a truck. Then we take you out to the truck and we have to teach you the pre-trip inspection, which is just a, it varies, but it's probably a 50 to, I'd say, 200 point inspection that each company and school kind of teaches differently. But we teach you how to wake up every morning and inspect your truck from front to rear in a way that's going to ensure that you're safe to be on the road. And so that, a lot like logging, is just something that I don't know, like for a lot of people, it tends to be a tough thing, because when you're trying to get the license initially, you have to memorize, like I said, either like somewhere between 50 and 200 random points of reference and recite it back to a DOT officer to prove the different points of the truck, what they're accomplishing and how they work, and what you need to look for to make sure that they're operating in the way that they should. And just like the logs, if you are pulled over and you have mechanical issues or something that should have been noted on the inspection but wasn't, you can receive a huge fine.
I
And
see.
so we have to get these guys prepared for this right up front. And we finally get them through logging, we get them through the laws of driving. We then get them through the pre-trip inspection, and then we actually begin road work with them, where we teach them like maneuvers on a yard, where we're gonna show you how to do things like parallel park a truck. We're gonna show you how to back a truck into a parking spot that like a 45 degree setup. We're gonna have to show you how to angle the truck into, like, we call it alley docking, because sometimes you're gonna go make deliveries, you're gonna have to back your tractor and trailer into an alley, and you need to know how to set up to properly do that. While we work those maneuvers with you and help you find the ways to do those, we then have to take you actually out on the road so you can drive in traffic and work on turns and things like that, and just learn the basic do's and don'ts of the road that differentiate driving 70-foot vehicle that weighs close to 40 tons. Like, there's huge differentiating factors between driving that and like your personal car or pickup truck. So there's a lot that goes into it that isn't like on the forefront of people's minds when they think about it, but you have to be alert and aware of all these things and sort of able to deal with them. Because the program that I worked with, we do a 4-week program where week one, you're doing, like I said, laws and logs and classroom work. Week two, you start maneuvers. Week three and four, week three, you do road work. And then week four, you're actually testing to get your CDL. And then once you finish that, you go out for another 6 weeks with an actual trainer over the road, where you have a driver that has, multiple years of experience that's going to let you basically live in their truck with them while you guys go out and work together and you learn the ins and outs of doing the job.
That's absolutely fascinating. My frame of reference with this kind of circumstance is a Dennis Hopper space movie. So where he and so in that movie, if you've seen it, he's under the impression that his space freighter, whatever it is hoarding sex toys, I think it is. But it actually is like transporting weapons or something like that. I've only seen it once, and it was many, many years ago, very late at night. But is that something that you kind of go over in that inspection period of like how to inspect what they might be transporting?
So that would actually come into play in the portion of training that we do at the company I work with. We're a flatbed company,
I
meaning that
see.
our
Okay.
trailers are, you can see the freight on there. We do tarp it, but you can actually see the freight sitting on the flatbed. If you drive for a dry van company where the freight is in an actual box, you may not get to see the freight. So you could very well be driving around with sex toys or weapons. You may not know. A thing with us is we do what's called load securement. And so with a lot of our loads, the guys have to actually do the tarping and strapping to make sure that the freight doesn't move around while it's just sitting there on the trailer itself. So they would learn that in that portion of things. But because some companies train you with dry vans, that sort of that different it's differentiated a bit from company to company, training program to training program.
That makes a lot of sense. That's absolutely fascinating. Yeah, I can imagine having that tarp and being able to kind of access it a little bit more directly kind of limits the chances of you not knowing exactly what you're transporting. When you got in, how did you initially get?
I dropped out of college and I needed a job, and someone told me I could get a CDL. So I got my CDL and I drove for like 6 or 7 years, and then I started doing stand-up comedy. And when that became my full-time job, I was at home all week during the week, like Monday through Thursday. And then I'd be on the road during the weekend, and I just would be so bored at home with nothing to do that I thought I'd go find another driving job. But they were all so labor intensive, and you had to like actually be there 60 hours a week. And then this one guy reached out to me and was like, "Hey, we have a CDL program and we need part-time instructors. And normally we hire retired drivers, but it would be nice to have someone who we're not worried is going to die on the road with the students. So we'll let you make your own schedule. You can come and go as you please. We just would like to have you. Would you be willing to commit to, say, 10 hours a month?" And we started with me just coming in, and I was basically working on like a fill-in basis where when I just needed something to do during the day, I'd go in, and then I got there and started doing it and loved it so much that I started actually working upwards of like 30 hours a week, even just going in every day, putting in a full 8 hours because I enjoyed being around trucking. I enjoyed being around the students and helping that much. And yeah, I've been doing it now since 2018. So I guess I'm coming up on 5 years,
Oh,
and
that's fantastic.
I couldn't be happier. I love it.
That's so cool. That's so cool. If people wanted to learn more about you or wanted to learn more about CDL or CDL training, where would you recommend they look?
I would recommend they go to their local DOT office and start there and just ask someone there about a CDL training. Normally, I would recommend the company I worked for, TMC Transportation, but we recently suffered a hack. So
Okay.
our website is not one I want anyone putting their information in right now.
Okay, okay.
So just go to your local. You can still get to us through your local DOT. If you want to do flatbedding, they'll probably recommend us because we're one of the top flatbed companies in the world. But yeah, and if you want to look me up, you can just look up Dante Powell on Facebook. You can email me at moose.rattler@gmail.com. You can text me at 318-285-998. I guess you can call me on that number too. Again, that's 318-285-9981. And yeah, I like if you need help. Actually, I should I'm that was a lie. That phone number is for the old time and temperature call-in line at the bank my mom used to work at in Louisiana. So if people call that, they're not gonna get me. But you can't, the email address was real. So if you need
Okay,
to
for sure.
email me, and then yeah, just look me up on stuff. If you Google my name, Dante Powell, all my socials come up and you can message me, and I'd be glad to help anyone with it at any time.
Dante, thank you so much. This has been really, really informative. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, man. This was so much fun.
Awesome. I'm glad you enjoyed it. My name is Matt Storrs, and this has been Matt Splaining.